From JetBooks, this is Irish Business Builders, a show about great Irish businesses and the people who built them. Head to jetbooks.ie/resources to pick up our free step-by-step guide on how to automate your bookkeeping.
People will invest in people that they like and trust. Being able to establish that sense of trust with your customers, with your team, with your buyers, your suppliers, it all comes down to relationship.
I'm Conor Carney, and that's the voice of Elaine Carroll, co-founder of the All-Ireland Business Foundation. The AIBF is the organisation behind the Business All-Star Award, a coveted accreditation given only to best-in-class Irish businesses. The foundation also hosts the annual All-Ireland Business Summit and monthly gatherings to promote collaboration amongst its members. In this conversation, Elaine talks about studying neuro-linguistic programming in Las Vegas and why she decided to never again pursue something for the sake of money alone. Elaine started off by telling me about the All-Ireland Business Foundation and the businesses that they support.
So the All-Ireland Business Foundation, we're an autonomous national accreditation body and we're tasked with enterprise development and the promotion of best-in-class in Irish business. So AIBF achieves this by identifying, firstly, then acknowledging, but very importantly, supporting Ireland's most progressive businesses and their leaders. And kind of, you might be familiar that we are actually the awarding body for the Business All-Star accreditation mark. So therefore, we're all about championing best-in-class Irish businesses, those that demonstrate commitment in the areas of three core pillars: trust, performance, and customer centricity.
How does it work exactly? If you can take me through an example, someone wants to get the accreditation and they think it might be beneficial for their business. What are the benefits of joining and how does it all work?
Yeah, so absolutely. Look, everything starts with having an open mind. Like a parachute, it'll only work once it's opened. So it all starts with somebody or a business person or leader just expressing an interest and wanting to know more and to learn more. So after that point in time, when they've registered their interest, we will speak directly with that business, with the owner, manager, director, CEO in a very high level, and we will assess and just see if that business is at the right stage in their business journey to actually look into their Business All-Star accreditation. So typically a company would be, you know, well trading, 2 to 3 years trading history. However, there are exceptions to this rule. If a company, say, you know, a really good entrepreneur leading it up, being a rising star, or has particular thought leadership behind that, so we either look at the business as a business entity and everything that they do and what they stand for. Or on the other side, we can look at the individual behind that business who might have a special area of expertise due to them being, you know, real thought leaders in their industry over, you know, 15, 20 year period, who are carrying that with them. It all goes back to somebody just expressing an interest and we taking the conversation from there. But then once it is verified that they are a potential fit for the Business All-Stars, they're invited to apply to go through the process, which involves very detailed telephone mentoring conversations with our external auditors, who's headed up by Kieran Ring of the Global Institute, who's our deputy chair here at the foundation. But the whole process is also overseen by Dr. Briga Hines of the Kemi Business School at the University of Limerick. So once a company does go into the process, it's very much based on a balanced scorecard type methodology. There's different steps along the way, as well as the formal application form and the judge mentoring calls. We will talk with, we will look for references. We will talk with the companies, maybe their buyers, suppliers, their staff. So it's not just about the figures telling a story. It's about what do people say about you? You know, are you a trustworthy business? Are you customer centric? You know, what are your core values? How do they align? What's your service like? What do you like to do business with? Is somebody doing business with you repetitively because of the nature of the product and services, you know, that they get from you? Or is it because they have to? So all of this comes out in the wash. And it's only if a company scores the requisite number of points when it comes to the very end that they're invited to become part of an elite tribe of progressive Irish businesses who are differentiated in the marketplace by their use of the Business All-Star mark.
What are the benefits of joining? Why would a business want to join the network and what do they get out of it?
If you wanted to summarize down the businesses into kind of main parameters. So first of all, if you look at a business that has maybe a team and staff, well, firstly, being part of an all-star team, it really helps to boost morale. Productivity increases as a result. So does employee engagement and pride. And then for the individual and the person maybe that's behind it, it could be because it's, you know, a particular, you know, the CEO or director or owner or whatever that has put themselves forward for it. It's the personal recognition for the founders, you know, and the stakeholders of the business. But outside of that, all of this will culminate in really good business development opportunities. You know, new sales opportunities will be created as a result of membership of the tribe. It will also give a platform to you to develop new business relationships, which will lead to opportunities. And then as a whole for the business, it really instills pride and projects a winning image of your business. And this really helps to differentiate you in the marketplace and increase national awareness of your brand, and that, you know, customers will know that you're the best person to do business with. And I think this is one that really comes back from feedback perspective from our current business all-stars is for their customers. It gives their customers a real sense of pride and surety in the knowledge that they are doing business with an all-star company or an all-star business, a business that has been proven by a third party independently to be doing a really good job and to be really trustworthy and customer-centric. Now, this is very important, especially for attracting new customers, but also it allows a huge touch point for a newly accredited business to reach out to their current customers and to have them share in their success and their story and their journey to say, hang on here, thank you so much for being a customer of ours here at XYZ Limited. It's because of you and your custom that we are now accredited as Business All-Stars. So thank you for that. So that those touch points. So there's so many different advantages. And for no two businesses will all the advantages be the same, and will be the reason, say, the motivation behind why a company actually goes for it. Different ones will be more important, do you know what I mean, depending on the nature of the business, the product and the service, and also with regard to the lifestyle or the life stage of the business.
When did you start the business?
So all of this started, and I think this is where maybe the very interesting backstory starts. So the All-Ireland Business Foundation was formally launched in September 2018. So we're just over 2.5 years, should we say, formally as the All-Ireland Business Foundation, but it didn't just start then. Like everything, there's a great backstory to it. So in that 2.5 years, kind of, I'm absolutely so proud to say we've got 2,500 businesses is what we've supported through our core programs, the All-Ireland Business Summit, the awards and the Business All-Star Accreditation. And by the end of this year, we will have approximately 750 businesses operating in Ireland that are accredited as Business All-Stars, that have gone through the process, you know, have put their hands up, have inquired, you know, have gone through the process, put themselves and their business through this third party independent, you know, test, should we say. And, you know, they've verified their performance, their trust and their customer centricity. So that for me is, you know, that there's huge satisfaction, should we say, in knowing that. And look, over the last year alone, I think we all know that we've all had to pivot. And it's a great word because of necessity due to the times that we're in. But we facilitated over 600 introductions and networking meetings in that time. And in the last year alone, over 1,200 business leaders have participated in our monthly masterclasses. So that's they're very satisfying figures to hear. So, you know, any day that we have a bad day here, we say, hang on here, but look what we actually have achieved. It's amazing. But look, you know, as you alluded to, yes, we are. The All-Ireland Business Foundation did start or was formally inaugurated in September 2018, but it's the backstory, I think, where the interest is in it.
And just out of interest, have any companies kind of gone through the process and maybe they've fallen down on certain things and they're kind of told maybe it's not for them right now? How does that process work when someone doesn't actually reach the standard?
Yeah, and that's why it's very important that we establish at the outset, you know, a company's genuineness, their motives, but also their current situation and how they're doing to see if they are a good fit. About 1 in 4 companies was all that got through from the stage of inquiry. That thankfully has really increased as the profile of our business all-stars, as we all say, like attracts like. So yes, at every stage, it could be they could fall down on, you know, a mystery shop check. They could fall down with regard to their references. They could be too fresh or too young in business and not well established enough. So all of this is given in a very, very constructive feedback type manner throughout the process. And that as well has been related back to us, you know, from a feedback perspective, as to one of the great values that our second and third time Business All-Star companies are reporting back to us, that they love that strategic independent advice and guidance that they get throughout their journey as a Business All-Star.
This podcast is produced by JetBooks, an online bookkeeping service dedicated to giving you real-time financial information at the click of a button. Head to jetbooks.ie/resources to pick up our free step-by-step guide on how to automate your bookkeeping.
Take me back a little bit to your own story and your own career before you started this business. What's your backstory and how did all this begin?
Yeah, with pleasure. So I think, like anybody, you know, you're going to school, you're doing the Leaving Cert, you often don't know what you want to do, so you do something pretty generic. So I attended the University of Limerick and I studied business with a major in finance and accounting and entrepreneurship and German. I loved business studies, I loved entrepreneurship, I loved strategy. And afterwards, I joined Ernst & Young, one of the big four in their Limerick office, where I went on to qualify as a chartered tax advisor, which a role which I absolutely loved. I was very fortunate that I went in under great partners and managers and went very much into a consulting role from the outset rather than a compliance role, which is, I suppose, one's dream when you go in as an intern per se. So I did my exams pretty quickly there. I was never one to sit on my laurels. At that time, back in say 2003, 2004, the whole boom, the Celtic Tiger was beginning to rise, property-based investments, you know, were becoming alive. So I decided at that point in time that I was going to go back and qualify as well as an auctioneer and valuer, simply because I was working on a lot of tax-based property transactions. And it'll be really good to have that understanding behind the value when I was working on these schemes and that. So I did. And I think after that, then, like everybody who's just qualified, you've gone straight from university into work life. You get itchy feet. The travel bug is kind of out there. So I always wanted to travel. And I was so, so lucky to have been supported by Ernst & Young to actually travel within the company. So I did. So I went on a secondment off out to Melbourne in Australia for them, where I absolutely loved. I worked out there for just over a year on a secondment. So it was such a great opportunity to be able to travel at that age. And not as a backpacker. So I was traveling as a professional, but yet I was getting to do all the backpacker type things. And all my friends, you know, are passing through Melbourne and all of that. And that really was the life. That was absolutely fantastic. And then a job opportunity came knocking my way, which I put my hands up for and I went for. And that was back in Ireland. Unfortunately, that was in the banking industry. And that bank did begin with a capital A. I know I'm not responsible for anything that happened in that. But yeah, I came back to Ireland to take up a role with Anglo-Irish Bank in their commercial lending division. Unfortunately, I was only back a couple of months when, excuse the French, but you know, it went down the swan here, went down the tube. So I found myself after having left a fantastic career down in Australia, big four background, after accepting this, you know, role very, very much for financial reasons, you know. So when you're a mid-20, late-20-year-old and you're shown a lovely check and all of that kind of stuff flashing in front of you and share incentives and bonuses and schemes and all of that, I made a decision for the wrong reasons, and that reasons was for financial gain. And, you know, redundancy hit a couple of months later, but I said, hang on here, Elaine, I was never one to panic. You know, I'm okay. Yes, my husband is in the construction industry and that industry has gone down the Swanee as well. I was pregnant at the time and I said, right, I also had qualified as a financial advisor as well just before I'd gone to Australia. So I was very lucky with the LIE and the School of Professional Finance in UCD. I was delivering some lecturing work and investments, loans, finance, all that good stuff. And I said, right, Elaine, you're fine. You have your lecturing work. So again, that was like a double bout of redundancy within a couple of months, except there was no redundancy payouts. I wasn't in either of the jobs long enough to gain anything financially. So fast forward maybe about 2 or 3 months, and I got present to see Keith Barry in the concert hall in UL. And Keith, he got me to say something, to think something, but he just got into my mind, under my skin, as Keith does. And I said, right, this isn't rocket science. There's something in this as to how and why I'm thinking and seeing and doing things the way I am. I said, there's a science behind this. I want to know more. So I'd have reached out and connected in with Keith afterwards. And Keith told me, look, for the power of this, you know, of language, say, and suggestibility, look into hypnotherapy, also look at NLP, which is neuro-linguistics programming, the science behind how your brain operates. and all of this good stuff. So I was at a point in time in my life when the, you know, I was literally financially broke now because of Anglo and everything else like that. I had a pretty good credit card and I said, right, I'm never again going to have this time. So I checked out who the best people were to train with regard to NLP and hypnotherapy. And I went off to the States and I trained in, I did my master practitioner, my trainer's training in NLP over there with Drs. Ted and Adriana James. I also did a master's in hypnotherapy for the power of, you know, suggestion, language patterns, all of that and influence, but just understanding. And it's all to do with communication. Everything is to do with communication. And I did that living out of a hotel bag with my one-year-old son in Las Vegas for about 4 months. So that was absolutely the experience of a lifetime. And to me, if somebody asks me with regard to my education, I tell them that was actually the most valuable piece of education that I ever had. So I came back to Ireland and that just renewed, it ignited something inside me. And when I'm often telling my story, you know, a picture or a visual that I often flash up is that of me as a 5 or 6 year old child at Ballinasloe Horse Fair. And actually at that moment in time, something got reignited inside me. I said, you know what? I want to be that girl again. I was that girl that was there, that was buying and selling her chickens and her pups at a fair in Ireland. I said, right, that's entrepreneurship. And that's where it started. And I said, right, Elaine, never again is anybody going to pay your salary for you. You're going to make your own way. You're going to be your own boss. You're good. Whatever it is, you're going to take control of your own destiny. So at that point in time, my paths crossed with my business partner, Kapil Khanna. We undertook some, you know, strategic work which came our way together. So our paths crossed. I did a lot of work for the various Leos, you know, in advice, strategy, helping businesses to set up themselves, lecturing in all those disciplines. And Kapil and I found that any of the projects that our paths crossed on, we both have a very, you know, very good strategic business backgrounds, and Kapil has worked for, you know, Fortune 500 companies and head pharmaceutical and capital finance and all of that. And myself with my own, I suppose, specialist people development skills, which were honed when I studied the NLP and hypnotherapy, we found that we were getting fantastic results. So when we're coming together, you know, 50% of our core, what we do is similar in terms of business strategy. He had huge expertise in online, digital and marketing. Mine was down the people side and we found it was a winning combination. So hence we put our two heads together and the Mespel Group was born. And what we did was we provided strategic business advice and consulting to companies that were looking to expand internationally. But we actually went a step further, Connor, in that we had our own backhouse or in-house team. So that if somebody needed to work on their brand, guidelines, you know, website design, you know, finance, we actually had the in-house team employed to do that. And it was going really well. So the Plastic Fantastic came out again. And a couple of months later, there was a non-refundable deposit down on the entire corporate and business area of Crow Park, only giving ourselves a couple of weeks of a lead time through to total inexperience. Then we said, crap, now we've got to fill the place. What will we do? So we sat down and we said, right, what would make, you know, the experience of a really, really good day worthwhile for us or for any business owner, manager, director who's really, really busy, not only trying to work in the business, but on the business as well? What would be really beneficial for them? So we said, right, if they could learn from some, you know, of the best minds and people that they look up to and aspire in business and sport. Secondly, if they had the opportunity to network with people without the gatekeepers. So in other words, with the owner, manager, directors of really progressive businesses like that. And if they had the ability to you know, have some meetings and that all in one venue on the day, well, wouldn't that be a worthwhile day out of the office? So the date went into the diary. The inaugural All-Ireland Business Summit happened. That was 7 years ago now to date. And outside of the cancellation of the physical gathering last year and this year, you know, we're seeing up in between 800 and 1,000 progressive Irish business leaders congregate in Crow Park for an inspiring day of learning, of networking. And also we give a shop window to companies who may not otherwise have a shop window. So we know that we're all working kind of in a remote world now. And sometimes it can be perceived that businesses based maybe in Dublin have, you know, the added advantage because of location. But we give businesses from all over Ireland the opportunity to showcase their business in a physical environment on the day. And that gives them a really, as I said, you know, good shop window, but opportunity as well to engage, to gain feedback, to see what competitors are doing. So that's where we're at. And I suppose I have to mention too that this wouldn't have been possible without some great supporting partners that have really supported us along in our journey. Virgin Media Business have been fantastic for us. They really believed and saw what we were doing, and they've been with us in our journey. Permanent TSB Bank have absolutely been fantastic. Skillnet Ireland. You know, there's so many Microfinance Ireland, the various Leos, One for All gift cards and rewards, you know, and Michael Dawson, who set it up there, came on board with us straight away when we saw the entrepreneurship behind, should we say, what we're doing. In addition to having the annual gathering, why don't we put together a program which will really acknowledge and help businesses to, you know, to gain the exposure that they need, but also to get validation that they're doing a really good job? Because look, one thing that us Irish people are not very good at doing, and I say this wholeheartedly and generically as well, is that we're not very good at taking a compliment. And often a compliment is something that we need to hear, that we are doing a really good job, our business is going well, you know, or whatever. So I myself am a judge for a lot of national awards for like the Ireland's Best Young Entrepreneur Programme, you know, the Bank of Ireland Startup Awards, etc. And I know the benefits and the value and how it makes a business person feel when they get that due recognition. But I wanted to take it a step further. So Kapil and I, we would have consulted with industry leaders, and we looked in particular at the Global Institute of Logistics, where they're doing certifications on a global level. And I would have gone back to Dr. Briga Hines at the Kemi Business School, where I was a past graduate, an alumni, and together we devised the Business All-Star accreditation process, which is equally applicable to a small enterprise as it is to a larger enterprise along the way. In September 2018, we had, you know, tried and tested some, you know, with regard to the business awards, and they were working really well, and also the summit. But it was then that we actually formalized the Business All-Star accreditation process into what it is today. And that would be our core activity here at the All-Ireland Business Foundation, which we support then through our ongoing monthly meetings, gatherings, also our live masterclasses. You might see next week, I'm actually hosting one with Brody Sweeney, Dr. Sinead Kane and Jerry Hussey around the theme of resilience. But for me, actually, the timing is really pertinent of us having this conversation, because this time last year was my 40th birthday. And I said, right, OK, I'm not going to have a celebration. You know, he was in lockdown and everything like that, but I wanted to do something to mark it. And I said, who has made, you know, a really good impact on my life as to where I am today? And I credit that, a lot of that, back to Keith Barry and my interaction of being in the audience and having, you know, what I witnessed, and how that actually spurred me on to go back to my grassroots and to be, should we say, reborn as the entrepreneur that I was meant to be. So actually, on my birthday last year, I hosted a live masterclass with Keith Barry to actually acknowledge that, which was phenomenal. And, you know, it was something that I'm very proud of as well. That's, I suppose, in a nutshell, Conor, you know, the whole back end story as to where, how we got to be.
Sure. It's a fascinating story. I'm particularly interested in the NLP and that side of things. What kind of lessons do you think you've learned? And you alluded to it there. It's got to do with communication and people skills. But what have you taken from that specifically that you use now and that you've taken with you in your journey as an entrepreneur?
Absolutely everything, Conor. Everything in the way that I communicate, either the written word or the spoken word. And I think it'll go back and something that everyone can relate to. People buy from people that they like and they trust. People will work for people that they like and trust. People will invest in people that they like and trust. So therefore, being able to establish that sense of trust with people, either with your customers, with your staff, with your team, with your buyers, your suppliers, it all comes down to relationship. And I think so many businesses have survived the lockdown, you know, in the last number of months, simply because of the great relationships they've had either, you know, with their customers, with their buyers or suppliers. But understanding, and that all goes back to giving people time to communicating them, but actually taking time to build up personal relationships. So if you were to ask me, Conor, is there anything that I'm really, really passionate about within, you know, my whole life or, you know, business experience, I would absolutely say it's about your network. Value your network. Work on your network. Nurture your network. Appreciate your network. And very much so, be authentic with your network. I think, you know, doing something for the sake of doing it is one thing, but actually doing something you know, coming from a place of honesty, integrity and authenticity, it will reap dividends for you. Maybe not today or tomorrow, but it will down the road, because when you need to cash in those dividends or call in those IOUs, they will be there for you.
I wanted to talk to you about that actually as well. Maybe it was more kind of a marketing thing with the Messable group, and you were kind of hoping to put on events which would attract your kind of target customer and everything else. Do you still have the Messable group?
Well, the Messable, no, absolutely not. Everything was an evolution. So like Charles Darwin said, you know, it's not the strongest of the species that survive. It's that most adaptable to change. So the minute, I think, that we hosted that first All Ireland Business Summit in there, but not just from ourselves, from the feedback perspective of who we dealt with and what we could do and what we could create. You know, that's something. And that came, Conor, from us being entrepreneurs and from coming with a strategic business development side and hat on us, rather than an event organizer. We understood the nuts, bolts, you know, everything behind it. You know, thinking of, right, okay, leadership in business. Well, who is a leader that people will resonate with, will aspire to? Look, Jim Gavin was there. He was coming onto the Dublin hurling team, you know, as their manager. He had a huge task ahead of him, but his confidence, his aura. So he was one of the first speakers, do you know what I mean, that we brought in. The same with Jerry Duffy. But the thing is that every single person that was at that business summit, I have done business with afterwards and since. So everything and everybody has evolved along with us. But definitely since the summit, you know, came to pass and we started looking at the awards and the recognition, it was always a goal of ours then to put it out there to be one of the best independent third party methods of verification and honour that could be bestowed upon an Irish business leader or company in Ireland, to say that, hang on here, this is a really, really good business, you know, to do business with, based on three core parameters. And I'd say them again: performance, trust, and customer centricity. So they are the cornerstone of everything we do. And then throughout, should we say, a company's journey as a business all-star, we really serve them through three main pillars. So first and foremost, one of the biggest, should we say, advantages, again, to go back on it and how we serve them, is through collaboration. We give our tribe members the opportunity to collaborate with one another. They're now part of a network. So these can be virtual, as we've been doing in the last 12 months, and then they'll be mixed with physical when the time comes to it. Secondly is inspiration. Make sure that through our actions or endeavours and what we organise, you know, and put on, should we say, for our business all-star companies, that they're inspired. They're inspired not only by household names, you know, and famous people, we call it, but also by their peers. So very often the business right beside you has a fantastic story and you may not have been aware of it, and they've got great learnings. So we give our entrepreneurs the opportunity to share their story with their fellow tribe members as well. And that has a great sense of relatability as well. And thirdly is celebration, you know, which all comes back to the business all-stars. You know, we help companies to celebrate their business success. We applaud the strivers and the achievers that deserve recognition, again, based on their performance, their trust and their customer centricity.
The business has done remarkably well in a reasonably short space of time. What do you put that down to? Do you put it down to certain marketing tactics that you did, your network? You know, if you could boil it down to one or even two or three things, what do you really put the early success of the business down to?
I would say the personal touch is so, so important. And I've noted that myself in particular over the last year. So I, at some stage of any business's journey through the accreditation, they'll all get a personal telephone call from me. So that personal touch is so good. I believe in a conversation, telephone conversation over email. So it's only if you can't get in touch with somebody that an email will come in second. I believe in really having, you know, good marketing communication. So as a whole, communications in general. Look, email will work for some people. A LinkedIn message will work for others, and others might prefer a text message. So it's actually been very aware and cognizant of the fact of the person you're reaching out to, of what their calendar and diary might be like, and communicating to them on their terms. I think that's very, very important. So showing that degree of respect for the profession or whatever it is they do. But as well as that, we never go out there and, you know, we don't do any PR ourselves for ourselves as an organization. Every story we tell is the story of one of our business all-stars. You know, instead of shouting about ourselves from the rooftops, we actually, you know, help shine a spotlight on our business all-stars. We give them the kudos. We give them the deserved recognition. And inadvertently, you know, that comes back on us indirectly. But as well as that, kind of, you might have seen that every month since the onset of COVID, we have hosted a live masterclass and leadership series, which we've made widely available, freely available to the Irish business community, because we understood that, look, it's a difficult time to stay connected, you know, to stay motivated as well. So we've had the likes of Sean Gallagher, Gavin Duffy, Mark Little, John Teeling, Jerry Duffy, Jerry Hussey, you know, just to name a few. You know, these will provide a monthly platform, and we're getting 300 to 400 businesses actively participate in each one of those, which just shows the people really do appreciate the value of a good learning and networking experience combined.
Do you think there's a bit of practice what you preach happening there in terms of customer centricity and everything you said about championing your own customers over yourself?
Yeah, no, absolutely. Look, you know, we can all, every day is a learning day and every day is a school day. And one thing that I will say, you know, as a piece of advice or something that I've really learned and we do here as an organization, that I'd say is something very good for any business to copy or to emulate: every single person in the organization here at EIBF lists out some things that they have improved on in the previous week. So literally, you know, what did you do better? You know, what did you do better this week? You know, at the end of the week, when you look back, what is it you're now doing better as a result? And all of these improvements, they add up to, you know, nearly a Bible at the end of the year. But to see that really documents the journey as to everything you've improved. And once it's down there and it's done and it's written and it's acknowledged, there's no reversion on it. And as well as that, I would definitely say that your check-ins are very, very important. So that open communication, which you mentioned there as well, again, we communicate very openly within the organization. So we've got your planning Monday, you know, you've got your check-in Wednesday evening or Thursday morning, and they're all very, very important. And look, every Friday, we have a Friday catch-up coffee. So bring the personal element into it as well. So again, it all buys back to people. People will buy from, work for, you know, people that they like and that they trust. So as in practicing what you preach, we need to do that internally as an organization, which is something that we're continually evolving around as well.
Did you have goals when you first started the business?
Absolutely. You know, I would say I do, since I started the business, I never considered myself going to work any day. I just wake up and I am who I am. And that is just a huge thing. Do I have goals? That the answer to that is absolutely yes. Some of them private, some of them public. But as I mentioned to you there, you know, the growth of an organization like the All Ireland Business Foundation and what we do and the quality of what we do is something. So I'm all on for quality, you know, as opposed to quantity. So the quality behind what we do and how that is held, not only, you know, in the public's eye, but also internally for myself, for my own core values and our own core values of an organization, like honesty, integrity, but also self-worth and self-respect are huge as well. So knowing the value of what you do and what you have created also helps in the knowledge that, look, it's not for everybody. There are going to be some businesses who will be maybe disappointed that they're, you know, that they aren't there yet or that they haven't got through certain hoops and hurdles. I live every day is a school day for me. Every day I can learn from anybody. Anybody can be my teacher. You know, Conor, I know that there's one or two tips I'm getting from this podcast that we're hosting already. Definitely.
What has been the key challenges along the way? Having the business, I suppose, the coaching business, then going into the kind of an event management business, and now kind of a broader event management network, mentoring type model. What have been the key challenges along the way?
The biggest challenge that I have seen has been my role as a mother, a wife, CEO, managing homeschooling during the last year and everything else like that. So through my journey over the last number of years, I went on to have my second child, Tara. But then 4 years ago, I had 4-year-old twins. And throw that into the mix of literally the time when the All-Ireland Business Foundation was just about to be born and launched, and all the back-end work and development and testing and really the real back-end work. So that was a very, very difficult time, multitasking to the hilt. I've always been a full-time working mother, and you definitely have got that guilt complex. Like, I'm here on a lovely summer's day and the kids are between their grandparents and a summer camp and a friend's house, you know, so I can, you know, do some work. It's a lovely day outside. So things like that are certainly challenging, you know. And I suppose it's knowing boundaries in between and setting firm guidelines and all of that. So it's not just about me saying that, hang on here, God, you know, what am I going to do for the summer? Well, Elaine, it's up to you actually to put some time off in your diary and then it's done. So I'm definitely one for putting an action. You know, what are you going to do about it? So if there's something wrong, well, what are you going to do about it? What are you going to change? You know?
What would you say? I mean, you alluded to your strengths earlier in communication and dealing with people. Do you have weaknesses that you're aware of? And how have you kind of dealt with those over the years?
Yeah, I suppose a little bit of the magpie syndrome. So I'm a person that kind of tends to see shiny things or really good ideas and maybe chase them a little bit and kind of go off the path of the structure as to, you know, what my daily KPIs are, you know, and what's the plan. So definitely, but I think, look, that's required as well. My business partner, Kapil, is the one that's very grounded in that, in terms of, you know, what must be done today, what's the plan, what's the structure of the day, and not just what, but what specifically. Whereas, you know, I know what needs to be done and I'll be very much more of a kind of a helicopter view or kind of, you know, that type of hat. But then at the other side, look, there's a yin and a yang to everybody, to every relationship. And I'd say I'm extremely emotionally aware and respectful of people, their personalities, you know, and what works and whatnot. But developing those personal relationships, you know, and not being blunt about it, you know, but making everybody feel special, which is brilliant, because long after people forget what you said to them, they'll remember how you made them feel. So I have a goal to actually make everybody that I speak with or that I encounter or cross paths with, you know, to leave them in a positive way.
Can you remember any mistakes? I think regret might be a wrong word to use here, but, you know, anything that you think you could have dealt with differently and that you learned from since it happened?
So when I say about mistakes, I suppose, you know, during my back end story that I said to you there, that I did once upon a time make a decision for financial reasons, and that was to move to Anglo in the banking industry. But actually, what I thought was a really bad mistake probably ended up to be the best decision I ever made. Why? Because it's what got me back on my path. So I would definitely be a person to say that whatever it is that's negative in your life or experience, if you can try and reframe it, that will really, really help you to look at the past in a positive manner. So when I look back and I think of, oh my God, Elaine, you left such a good job and fantastic organization, global, the opportunities you had, and then you ended up in debt in the banking industry and, you know, worked for years for nothing and shares down the Swanee and all of this. So hang on here. But actually, it's because of that I realized the value of what I have. I really do appreciate what I do, the value of money. My kids are really, really good with money as well, you know, and the value of it, but also that they know how to, you know, how to work for it. So again, I think it's really kind of helped me with a lot of the skills now that I bring to the table. That, shall we say, monumental mistake, which I thought I made years ago, ended up to be possibly my saving grace and getting me back on the entrepreneurial route again.
So it's been a huge business journey as well as personal journey for you. What does the future look like? What are you working towards now? And what are your kind of goals and vision for the future?
So definitely the All-Ireland Business Foundation is going great places. And I'm delighted to be spearheading that with my colleague and our managing director, Kapil. We've got great plans as to the base of companies that we're now serving and plan to in the future, and to expand the size and the profile of those businesses and those companies. But also acknowledging, you know, some really distinguished, you know, business people for what they're doing out there. And I'll just give you an example. We're currently, you know, after, you know, recognizing Margot Slattery of Sodexo being, you know, the month that's in it with diversity and inclusion and all of that, honoring her for the role that she's played in that whole space, for being such a role model, an aspirational person to look up to. So there's so many hidden gems out there. There's so many rubies in the mountains of rock that are here. I'm on a personal mission to uncover them and to shine them off and to shine a spotlight on them in the meantime.
I think that would be a very positive note to finish on. Elaine Carroll, thank you very much for joining me on the podcast.
Absolutely delighted, Connor. Cheers.
This podcast is produced by JetBooks, an online bookkeeping service dedicated to giving you real-time financial information at the click of a button. Our team of qualified accountants leverage the power of cloud technology to automate your manual processes and cut the cost of your finance function in half. Head to jetbooks.ie/resources to pick up our free step-by-step guide on how to automate your bookkeeping. If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe and leave a 5-star review. It really helps others to find the show. I'm your host, Connor Carney. Thanks for listening.